Hey all, Eric Christensen, pharmacist back here with the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. Today I'm going to be covering rifampin pharmacology. If you haven't listened to the podcast before, you can find all the episodes at reallifepharmacology.com. You can also sign up to get emails when we've got new podcasts available, as well as we've got a free 31-page PDF on the top 200 drugs, where I highlight some really, really important, relevant clinical pearls, kind of from each medication within those the list of the top 200 there. So, really nice resource. Sponsor of this podcast, meded101.com/store. Go check out all our resources there, and greatly appreciative of that sponsorship. So with that, let's get into rifampin. This drug is classified as an antibiotic, also maybe classified as an anti-tuberculosis agent, and that's probably the setting you're going to see it used most often. Some other indications you may see it used for: meningococcal prophylaxis, so prophylaxis for a certain type of meningitis prevention there. Osteomyelitis, I've seen it for add-ons there, that type of infection. Joint infections, I've also seen it for that. Those are the primary ones that I've seen this drug used for in real life. Now, with that, I did want to mention that you rarely see rifampin used as monotherapy. So you rarely see rifampin used by itself. And the reason for that is resistance can quickly develop with bacteria and the use of this agent. So if you ever see rifampin used alone without any other antibiotics, you definitely want to take a note and look at that and look into that and make sure that is correct. Now, the exception being there with prophylaxis. So meningitis prophylaxis, that's a situation where you might actually see it used alone. But again, very, very seldom if we're treating an active infection because of resistance, you will likely not see rifampin used alone. And if you do see it used alone, that's definitely a good spot to ask that question and make sure that this is right and the patient isn't actually on another antibiotic, or it was, you know, inadvertently forgot to prescribe a co-antibiotic with it. But very, very important point to remember, whether you're a nurse, another physician, whether you're a pharmacist reviewing a patient or going through a patient's medications. Now, mechanistically, how this drug prevents bacteria from replicating and growing. The drug blocks RNA transcription by binding to the beta subunit on RNA polymerase. So that's how this drug really zaps those bacteria and prevents growth there. Now, adverse effects. Plenty of potential adverse effects with rifampin. When this drug is used in real life, the first thing I think about is drug interactions and potential for problems there. Obviously, I'll get to that going ahead. But the drug itself can have some potential interactions. So LFTs is one of the first things I think of, and particularly if we're talking tuberculosis therapy, because many patients with tuberculosis may have been on or may still be on isoniazid and pyrazinamide, both agents that can be liver toxic, along with rifampin added into that potential adverse effect pool, so to speak. So very, very important to think about that. If you notice a patient with any abnormal, unusual GI signs and symptoms that may be indicative of some type of hepatic impairment or hepatic failure, definitely something to think about and keep your eye on. And we're going to want to monitor LFTs if we're on this medication for any length of time at all there. Common adverse effects, GI upset, that kind of goes with any antibiotic, period. There is one really, really unique adverse effect that actually doesn't really impact the patient from a physiological standpoint, but it may more so be from a psychological standpoint. So this drug can actually change the color of secretions. So like saliva, urine, sweat, things of that nature, tears even. It can change the color to a reddish or a potentially brownish type color. So you could imagine that would be pretty distressing for a patient. But typically it doesn't, you know, have any other adverse effects other than, you know, it looks weird or different. So definitely one to alert your patients to, so they don't go into full-blown panic mode if they do notice that as a potential issue. So I mentioned the LFTs maybe being a little, you know, less common, but certainly can happen with the agent. A couple other things that are more rare, but certainly have been reported with the use of rifampin. So low platelets, also risk for anemia, and possibly reduction in white blood cell count as well. So you may see CBC monitored periodically as well if you've got a patient who's taking longer-term rifampin. Let's take a quick break from our sponsor, and we'll finish up on drug interactions. Go check out meded101.com/store. We've got free Audible books. If you've never had an Audible book, you can actually get your first one for free. So The Thrill of the Case and Pharmacotherapy are two books that I have created, full of case studies, clinical pearls, great information for any, you know, med student, PA, nurse practitioner, clinical pharmacist, pharmacist in general, even nurses who are looking to understand, you know, the aspects of medications and how these drugs work. Go to meded101.com/store, snag those books for free. If you've never actually listened to an Audible book, you can get your first one for free. So pretty unique resource there that's not going to cost you anything if you haven't had an Audible book before. If you're a pharmacist, check out our BCGP, so geriatrics, pharmacotherapy, ambulatory care, board certification materials. Also got links to NAPLAX material that are really focused on, you know, clinical aspects as well as, you know, important topics like calculations and things of that nature as well. So all those links, all those resources, meded101.com/store. Now let's open up the can of worms with rifampin. Rifampin has numerous drug interactions. And in all honesty, when I see rifampin used, which isn't terribly often, I always run a drug interaction screen, unless they're obviously on like one med or something. But virtually always, if they're on a few medications, I'll do a drug interactions screen just to make sure I'm not missing something. But rifampin is a potent CYP3A4 inducer and a potent P-glycoprotein inducer. And those pathways are home of a lot of different drugs. So definitely wanted to run you through a few of the very common, very significant drug interactions that rifampin can have. So most often, I think, you know, lay people and people that don't understand medications very well, when they think of drug interactions, they usually think of toxicities and concentrations going up. Well, rifampin actually does the opposite. So it's an enzyme inducer. So for a lot of these drugs, it actually reduces concentrations. And you might think, well, why, you know, why is that so bad? Well, you think about some of the agents here that are impacted. So rifampin can interact with warfarin, and I've actually got a case in one of my books, Pharmacotherapy, where rifampin caused an INR to go down, and what wasn't recognized was after warfarin was increased because of this rifampin, once the course of rifampin was done and the drug was discontinued, all of a sudden we had this huge spike in INR because that rifampin was no longer there and actually chewing up and reducing the concentration of the warfarin. So rifampin can reduce the concentrations of warfarin, increase the risk of clot formation, and increase risk of stroke or things like that, depending upon what you're using warfarin for. And with that, we've always got to remember when we make changes with this drug, dose increases, dose decreases, discontinuations, we can have the opposite effect when we take that drug away. So very, very important to remember that. Other anticoagulants, Pixaban, Dabigatran, they can be impacted. Concentrations can go down. We put our patient at increased risk of clot potentially there. Certain statins, simvastatin, atorvastatin concentrations can reduce. Again, maybe putting our patients at risk for higher cholesterol. Maybe that leads to an increased risk of cardiovascular event or something of that nature. Birth control. So rifampin can increase the risk of birth control failure because the drug chews up the estrogen, the birth control preventative measures there. It can increase that risk for pregnancy. So that can be a big, big issue, certainly, if you do not wish to get pregnant. Levothyroxine, it can reduce concentrations there, so we might have to monitor TSH more closely. Transplant medications, so let's say cyclosporin, for example. Good example there, where if we have, you know, acute rejection with an organ transplant, that's a really, really bad thing that rifampin could cause if we're not paying attention to levels as we start this medication or if we use this medication. So very, very important there. Antipsychotics, you know, a drug like clozapine concentrations can be reduced, potentially leading to failure. Lots of HIV meds, integrase inhibitors, protease inhibitors, lots of drugs there, calcium channel blockers, diltiazem, verapamil, azole antifungals, you know, a drug like voriconazole, for example, concentrations can be reduced there. Amiodarone, an antiarrhythmic, concentrations can be reduced there. So, and this list goes on and on and on. I just wanted to highlight some really, really important ones for you, things to pay attention to, look out for. But I would strongly encourage you to look it up. If you ever see rifampin going to be started or used, you've got to be aware that this drug can alter the concentrations of numerous, numerous drugs and very, very important drugs for our patients. So I think that's going to wrap it up for today. If you like the podcast, give us a kind rating review on iTunes. That is greatly, greatly appreciated. If you want to support the podcast financially, go check out meded101.com/store for all our resources there. And then to sign up for Real Life Pharmacology Podcast to get emails when we've got a new podcast out, you can go do that at reallifepharmacology.com and go check out our free top 200 study guide, our free 31-page PDF. I'm going to sign off for today. Eric Christensen, pharmacist. You can track me down on LinkedIn. And thank you so much for listening. Hope you found this podcast educational and helpful, of course. Take care. Have a great rest of your day.